In this week, on the 17th of June 1977, three-time Southern League champions Wimbledon were elected to the Football League. Months of hard work and canvassing were rewarded when, at Football League's AGM in London's Royal Cafe, the results of the election ballot were announced as follows. Altrincham, 12 votes. Halifax, 44 votes. Hartlepool, 43 votes. Southport, 27 votes. Workington, 21 votes. Wimbledon, 27 votes. The Dons finished above Workington, taking their place in the fourth division. The rest, as they say, is history and history and more history. Hello, we're the same old Wombles. We're back.
Might not be life or death, my friend, but to me, it's more important than that.
Welcome, welcome everyone to a special summer edition of the Same Old Wombles podcast. Adam tried to tell us not to do it, but we couldn't help it. We're going to do it anyhow. This is our Same Old Wombles summer series. There could be one of them. There could be five of them. Who knows how many there's going to be. Anyhow, this is our special edition, and I'd like to welcome mon frère Niall Cooper. Hello, Niall.
Hello, Matty. And I know roughly how many new editions there will be, but I'm not going to say. It could be one. It could be five. It could be six.
Exactly.
It could be loads. And for Adam's sake, it could be 23.
our man with the buttons, the producer, who's tearing his hair out, quite literally. Hello, Adam. You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just, every other podcast takes a break during the off season, except we decide not to, and we're going to do specials, which basically means I'm still going to be busy every Monday to get these out every Tuesday.
It might not be every Monday, yeah. Adam. There might be Mondays off.
That's true.
There could be other days of the week.
Based on what I've heard, there might be loads of random episodes, which is just going to basically screw up my summer. So, yeah. The only time I get to take off, I will not get to take off.
No, well, welcome, Adam. You enjoy this. And obviously, our football guru, the man with all the Wimbledon knowledge, hello and welcome to Mark Lewis. How are you, my friend?
Good evening. Well, like everyone else, I'm doing the whole cold turkey on football, which is why all of us are looking at random websites we only ever look at for a couple of months of the year and finding nothing on there. And interpreting the various two-line statements from former players in quite a salty fashion.
Yeah.
More of which later.
Exactly. We'll get into that in a second. And also,
Matt, dear viewer, dear listener, it's worth pointing out that on Mark's amazing quote he just said, he is in fact wearing a Wimbledon top. So on his cold turkey, he's failing quite miserably. Just putting it out there, Mark.
And he hasn't worn a top for the whole season apart from now. But anyhow,
apart from every single Saturday match day,
On the podcast,
twice.
But most importantly, we have a wonderful special guest with us, an award-winning special award-winning special guest, Graham Doob Stacey. How are you, my friend? Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm good. I'm just alarmed at the thought of Mark not having worn a top all season. But I think you meant a football shirt, didn't you?
No, we met a top, it's fine.
Oh, just no top.
Yeah. That's how he likes to be. He's very relaxed usually on the podcast.
Not as relaxed as Adam, who usually has a baseball hat and beer, but tonight he just has
it's
beer.
Too hot for the brimming hat. Sweltering in Southampton.
My friend Graham, how are you, sir? How have you been?
Very good, very good. I don't mind a bit of off-season, to be honest. I don't mind a bit of ridiculous rumour-making, nonsense. And hearing that we're signing Bobby Zamora and whoever else every year.
Oh, that's right.
Probably about to, isn't it?
The greatest. So basically, let's do the close season so far when it comes to players. So a little while ago, when the season ended, we actually said out of the three players that were out of contract, we thought it's the most important to keep Johnson, keep that defence solid. So we thought that was a great thing. Only in so much
we got something right then.
Yeah, only in so much that we had a feeling that we were going to lose Nerfell and Tilly.
But not to Bradford and Wickham.
Yeah, well, I mean, I love a rumour, and the rumour is that Nerfell's on an awful lot of money. A hell of a lot, and Bradford are putting a budget together to compete at the top of League One. Is everything I'm hearing. So it's an awful lot of money, and Tilly, I'm surprised in that sense because I didn't think he would be making his way that far up the league. I don't think he'd be at the top of League One. But yeah, I think
the players, they take the money where it is.
Yeah, of course they do. Really. Of course they do. And then the other thing is, then
it's still Alistair bad, Smith, though, isn't it? It's still bad. Like, they shouldn't just go for the cash. Flipping.
Well, I mean, I think Adam, the reality is, right, is that we all said last week, so this is where we need to keep our spirits up, that we were probably going to lose Nerfield and Tilly. And we've lost Nerfield and Tilly.
Yeah.
Big surprise, right? Not surprise. And we kept Johnson, which is a good thing, because I thought Johnson would have been a potential touch and go because he's out of contract. All good. Now, our next one on our list, I think, is Smith, to see what Smith is doing. Smith's video is the most weirdest thing ever. So what that means, I do not know. But, you know, that we're kind of where we thought we would be at this point in the season. So, you know, in the off-season.
Here's
so
the question, because Dooms, you're a little bit younger than the rest of us. So, you are. And oh, you certainly look a lot younger than the rest of us. Might be the gastroenteritis. who was your first boyhood woman hero?
I was going to say Dennis Wise.
It's going to be Kendall, because he's so young.
Oh, yeah. Rob Ursel, yeah. but from watching videos of the, you know, black and white and stuff.
Yeah.
Cork was one of them. Besson, I suppose it was that kind of period. I think we're probably Division 3 around there, Division 4 even. Dennis Wise was a favourite. Who else? Flash was the big one, and Vinny.
Well, I mean, the reason I'm asking is most of those players, apart from Fash, who he sold when he had a dodgy knee, for like 1.3 to Villa, and he retired about a year later.
Yeah.
I mean, Wise went to Chelsea, 1.6 million. And obviously Besson and Andy Thorne went straight after the cup final, didn't they? We never saw that cup final team play again. I've got the squad photo celebrating with the trophy, the one that is missing Miles Hippolyte from Wembley. And I'm going to have to take it down because obviously it's at the moment, it's my screensaver on my laptop. Except, of course, there's already about four players missing. But the reason I asked is it happens, right?
Yeah.
You get boyhood heroes or, you know, teenage heroes or whatever, and then they
you get another one. I'm quite relaxed about it, to be honest, because we didn't know who Josh Nerville was until, well, 2 years ago. And then he really came good last year. But, you know, it's trusting Craig Cope, isn't it? Because Joe Lewis, I mean, he came out of nowhere, really. He isn't like 18. He wasn't 19 and not, you know, and ready to make a breakthrough. He was, you know, he'd had a couple of, I think, Torquay and then Stockport and wasn't getting a game. And, you know, has gone on to become the greatest living centre-back in the world ever, probably.
Yeah.
You're a scout and then he's shit, don't listen to
the
podcast.
Yes.
Sorry. There'd be a small argument that Paolo Maldini might possibly be up there, but I reckon it's a close call.
Bobby
Orr, I wouldn't. A cold Tuesday night.
I wouldn't worry about the scout listening to this, Mark. We've established that we are talking to a listener, and he's actually on the podcast with us. So you're right. I mean, that's what happens, and I think there was something out there that's saying that out of however many, the last 20 or so, or 15 at least, player of the years. Yeah. I think there's only one that has stayed. Most of them go. I mean, it is the kiss of doom. If you know, as soon as we got a player of the year, they've gone. Particularly ones that are out of contract.
Which is why it was a stroke of absolute genius to give all the awards to Josh Nerfield and not mention Joe Lewis, who was actually the player of the year, of course. Yeah. So brilliant. Bit of foresight there, I think. Well done, fans who voted for that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think like all this stuff, like we knew people would go and whatever, and that's what happens, right? That's football. That's the off season. Things change. I was just annoyed that there's some random people on X or wherever who are like, oh, we need to now have a billionaire owner to keep hold of these players. I don't like, no, that's not how it works. Players move on, they do things, and often they move for cash, sure, but I don't want us to be paying over the odds for players that are. You know, we don't need to. It's just ridiculous. So
to be honest, I don't think that anyone has explained to me how selling out to, you know, whatever percentage it is anything more than a sugar hit. Because we've seen it before. We sold 10% for 2.5 million. Yeah, we got 2.5 million. It helped us build the stadium. But not a penny, to my knowledge, has been invested since towards the playing budget or anything else. it's a one-off, it's a sugar hit. So anyone saying, oh, we need an investor, then we'll have better players or can afford better players, I don't think they've read the small print, really. Yes, some of it, we're told, would go to paying off the debt. Not all of it, because it might go into other bits of the club. You know, we sold, I think, was it Asal, and lots of it went towards staff salary increases, which is great and a very good thing, but it's not player budget. And as I say, it's not, we're not getting another £5 a week in the playing budget because we've sold to someone. We're getting presumably zero. So, yeah, I don't think the circle squares or the square circles, whichever way that works.
Yeah.
It adds up is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
That seems like the word.
And I think that you've got to look at it and go, what were we mid-table league two in a budget wise? And so, I mean, look at Carlisle. I think they had one of the highest budgets in League Two last season, my understanding. And they would swap places with us in a heartbeat. So it isn't that. And I also think there was a brilliant interview with Jake Reeves. I'm not calling him Alan Reeves this week. There was a brilliant interview with Jake Reeves. I know. Just before, and he was saying what a special club it is. And I think that there is something about our club that gives that player, I mean, I know, maybe I'm just wishful thinking of it, but it does feel like it gives an extra 5-10%. Like you say, Graham, we had Joe Lewis. You know, he wasn't ripping up trees anywhere. All of a sudden, he is, like you say, our best player. We've nominated him as our best player now that Nerfield's gone.
Wait and say that until the transfer window is closed again?
Yeah, true.
When does it close, by the way? I thought it was pretty close to closing.
End of August. End of August.
God, okay.
It only opened today.
It officially opens on the 1st of July.
Okay, some random other person gave me some complete misinformation that I thought was true.
No. What you've had, Adam, is there's a transfer window that was open for about a week.
10 days.
Prior to the prestigious, and I know we're all paying attention to it, the World Club Cup, which is now taking place in America. So okay, there was a transfer window before that allowed sides like, I don't know, City and Chelsea, all the poor clubs, to get in new players. So then it closed just before that. So it's opened again now, and it opens until the end of August. So from now until the next, I don't know, 3 weeks, because I think it's 3 weeks before we go to Spain. It's going to be random things on X going, we haven't bought anybody. We need to sell the club so that we can buy people. Oh my God, have you heard that so-and-so's going here? Or there was a brilliant rumour that came out. Who's that great guy who's playing for Notts County on the wing? Jody Jones. There was a rumour, and I'm sure just someone just put it out there just for the hell of it, saying that we were going to sign him. It was just like, he's on contract for another 2 years at Notts County. So it's like, really? So I've not heard any mad rumours. The only rumour that seems to be happening, and my understanding is he might have even signed for us already, is this guy called Callum Johnson, who was at Bradford most recently and has been injured quite a lot. But you know, apparently was, you know, he was doing quite well at Accrington Stanley a few years ago. But so he might be with us. But that's it. And as for Alistair Smith, we were just saying a minute ago, his video was really weird. It just felt like he felt angry. The lyrics to it were quite angry.
I haven't seen this video. I don't know whether is it on?
He put something up on X.
Oh, that's why I haven't seen it.
I know, Adam. Yeah.
It's a CV, basically.
It's like come and get me, pay me more money type thing.
Yeah.
When you leave the Big Brother house, they kind of say, here's your best bits.
And, it's like, all my days, okay.
Yeah.
It's produced by his agent, obviously, right? And it's got that kind of bit. It's basically saying, right, I'm being paid peanuts, you bastards. How dare you, you know, Lincoln kicked me out and now I'm going to have to live off like gruel. So you better, you know, come and save me because I'm not a great player, effectively.
Obviously, yeah, you want him to sign for us, but I mean, it does appear to be. Look, my agent's not doing the right job for me.
It just seemed like an angry lyric. Maybe it's just one of his favourite songs, but it just seemed the lyrics seemed quite angry. Quite like, you know, I've given all of this and now I deserve my.
Okay, well, we won't link. We won't link to that in the show notes. That's People are going to have to search for whatever the heck that is. No, I like him a lot. I hope he gets cured.
But that's it. But this conversation here is exactly what we like to do. Pick out something which might not have any meaning whatsoever, delve into the minutiae of it, and come up with our own weird conclusions.
I think with good reason in this case, because it's one of those where you think, why wasn't this wrapped up? As in, he was always being let go by Lincoln.
Yeah,
I think
always, yep.
He was being let go. And he's been spending time in our dressing room for a year. You know, anyone could have said, come on, should we have a chat in the office? And then, you know, we got promoted 3 weeks ago. So you think that we would have had a plan A, plan B. If we go up, here's your offer. If we don't, here's your offer. And, you know, sign now once we know. So yeah. It is a bit, I guess that's where the sort of, I don't know, I want to call it paranoia, but it is paranoia, isn't it?
We're
five aside at the moment, but I think that's where it comes from amongst the fan base. It's like, why wasn't this done? Especially nowadays where everything's instant and it's like instant gratification on everything.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where it comes from. But yeah, as you say, yeah, putting out your CV.
The thing with that, though, Doobs, is that obviously you said five aside, but like normally five aside teams also have a goalkeeper. So you know.
We're playing Rush. There is nothing Joe Lewis cannot do.
But I mean, I was thinking this whole thing about the team being torn apart. I'm not sure I feel that way.
That's nonsense.
I mean, you know, we always have a lone keeper in, and we're waiting for a lone keeper.
If you think about your 11 on the pitch, right? We're not being torn apart, because torn apart would suggest ripped down the middle. And in fact, it's the middle that's staying, which has been trimmed. Not torn apart, just trimmed on the wings, that's all.
We've changed players, every season we've changed, like, most of our players. Like, that's just normal. That's nonsense.
It's the reality of lower league football.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we're in League One, and therefore there will be some big money flying around, which we obviously won't see much of. But, you know, people are being asset stripped, essentially. Ryan Hardy, who was Plymouth centre forward, top goal scorer for them in the championship the last couple of years, has just gone to Wrexham because Wrexham have got money. That's the name of the game, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think people are comparing us to what happened to Crawley when they went up.
It's just factually inaccurate.
Yeah, it is factually inaccurate, because I think they were saying 70% of their Crawley's minutes have gone from what they played over the season, whereas ours is more like 45%, I think. So, and one of those is Nerfell, who played, you know, virtually every minute. So, yeah,
actually,
you know,
if you look at the same stat which I've just shared with our WhatsApp group, you know, Reading 79.1%, and
I think the one way you can
they did pretty well
is that it's not necessarily a bad thing. We are going up a league.
Yep.
And you know, there's lots of like we like those players. That team that got us up was great. You know, their personality, get it, and we'll miss a lot of them individually. But actually, if you want to be kind of hard nosed about it, we probably needed to improve on quite a few of them. You put that sort of sentimentality aside, you think, well, how many players would you keep and think, right, we're top half of the table? You keep Joe Lewis, obviously, and then you clone him. But but
five times.
You know, probably three, four. I'm not going to name names of those I don't think are top half of League One material, but I'd say five or six you probably wouldn't put in that bracket. And yet it's putting a lot of pressure and weight on Craig Cope. But to improve them individually, I think we probably would have been looking to do that anyway, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Interesting one for me is I used to sell the programs, and I never got a chance to actually read them. So I spent a bit of time at the weekend literally reading about the last four or five programs of the season. So there's an interview, a big extensive interview with Johnny in one of them, big extensive interview with Craig in one of them. They wanted a promotion on their CV. Yes, obviously they want to advance their own careers, which may be elsewhere away from Wimbledon in terms of bigger, more lucrative things. But they wanted it, needed it, and now they've got it. And now, having got it, obviously comes the nice challenge of rebuilding, which you have to do in most years anyway, and doing it at a high level. And the same type of rabbit out of a hat persuasive tricks that Craig was doing in League Two, he now has to try and do in League One.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, and I think, you know, I think people are looking also at having cover in every position, and I don't think that's necessarily what we need. I think what we need is a good solid base, and then we need cover that can go across the positions. So we need someone. Maybe we need, you know, we've got three centre backs at the moment. Well, four, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Which is great. Maybe we need a fifth. But then obviously, no, we were talking about this the other day. Maybe Oggs can play wing back as well. If we have a wing back, Oggs could cover that position as well. Maybe Sass could cover on another side. So, and in the middle we've got decent players. So maybe we just need a one in there. And you know, up front, in theory, we've got five forwards. They're not five. We need another couple. But you know, we've got Stevens, Bugel, Kelly, Sass and Foyo. I mean, I would suggest that a couple of those might go out on loan. And then we need a good couple more strikers in. So, you know, I think if we get four or five people in, that's you know, six people in, that's not so bad. We don't need a huge squad. I think if we're stepping up, we can have a smaller squad, but maybe better players.
And I don't think that costs that much money if we're smart, as we have been, with loans. I think loans could be pivotal, because if we're looking at some, you know, second-time loaners from the Premier League, perhaps, and they work out, as under Craig Cope, I would hope them to do, that could be five of our starting 11. And on next to no money, you know, we're paying a percentage. And, you know, goalkeeper could be one, because people have seen what's happened with Rambo and Bet and Goodman and the likes, and they're probably going to see us a preferred partner, if you like, to learn their stuff under Bezo. So that could be one. I think a striker might be another one where we save money. We look at someone like Mickleforce, first time round, you know, who might be available for a League One transfer this season. But, you know, I'm not saying it has to be him. But that could really get us out of the woods and make up half our team. As we say, we've got a good spine there. Our defence was our rock last year. We've kept the defence together. We've got the four of them, Oggs, Johnson, Lewis, who counts double, and building from there. And Reeves, I'm presuming, will still start.
Yeah. Reeves, and I think Hippolyte is a player we missed so much of last season.
Yeah.
So if we add in, if Smith does sign, and I would expect Hutchinson probably to sign, by the way. So I think that is, you know, you're looking at that defensively, the mid, centre mid, feeling pretty robust, in my opinion. So I think you're right, Dupes. If we can fill in that, get that goalie spot, get a forward on loan, and we've still got to think about the flanks. But, you know, we're not in a terrible position, really.
Maybe that's where your money goes. Maybe that's where you know, if you are getting loans, then suddenly your budget is focused on a couple of positions rather than, you know, nine or ten, some of which are positions. So go back to what Matt said. I think this Johnson guy, Callum Johnson, does sound like he's a right-sided centre-back, which may mean Oggs going left-sided centre-back or whatever. And you know, but that's five into three positions suddenly, and we're looking quite healthy there. Yeah. So, I think loans are going to be crucial for us. That's sort of signing smart rather than signing expensively. And then you focus the money and we'll have key positions, no doubt. And to get like... you know, I mean, maybe Jody Jones, if those are be flabbergasted. Yeah. If the rumors are true, that would be a heck of a signing, and that's where your money goes. And if he's on the pitch, you know, he's had injuries and stuff. But something like that, you've got a couple of almost marquee signings on the wings, and suddenly you're looking like a squad, or at least a very good starting 11 with a bit of backup around.
I tell you what, there's some money flying around and some names being thrown around the league too.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy in that regard that we're not in the team for any number of different reasons. But there's some squads being built there, or at least some marquee signings anyway. So that's fine. It's a division teams are not going to have to play for at least in the 12 months.
Yeah, I don't. We need to so last year, Mark. Do you know what I mean?
Just absolutely.
Like, it's whatever.
I do find interesting is a number of fans, understandably, have got a bit of PTSD because that last season in League One had that, what was it, 28-game unwinning, whatever the word for unwinning, 28-game run in which we didn't win a game.
I blame the board for that. The board then were rubbish.
Well, that's true. Board were rubbish, absolutely. Yeah. I do believe two people on this podcast won the board at the time. I wasn't one of them.
I think there's a lot of lessons have been learned. I think when that rubbish board, that particular rubbish board, you know, disbanded, at the end of that season, the one thing we did say was like, lessons learned. What, you know, it's worth nothing if we don't learn from this. So what do we do? And we and our tenure actually got Craig Copeland, best signing Wimbledon's made apart from Joe Lewis, possibly, you know. And lessons were learned, I think. And I think we're a lot better equipped now, because if you look back at that unwinning run, we had a relatively new manager. We didn't have much experience around him for him to sort of lean on in his first senior managerial role. And we sold his only striker and got Sam Crosgrove in instead. So, yeah.
And left ourselves with a very inexperienced squad. You know, the likes of McCormack and Stahl.
Very, very, very clear that as the DTB, we definitely were not improved, not very happy about the selling of Palmer.
No, absolutely. But I think there was a lesson learned, probably, you know, one we could have foreseen and probably did flag up actually at the time. But, and I don't want to sort of, you know, go over that, but I think it's probably flagged up at the time that is he sure this is a good idea? And sort of taking people's words for it, but without that experience in the building to say, that's a terrible idea, don't let it happen.
Yeah.
Because you know, when you're on the board, you let experts do their experting. And, you assume that they're right because that's the job they're paid to do. And if they make a big call and get it wrong, then
the ball gets neck.
We're all so much more confident now that the recruitment brains trust that we have compared to what the recruitment brains trust we had at that point in League One is streets ahead, right?
Yeah, and I think the one thing that we do worry about. And this will be continued. And I don't think we can get away from it, to be honest with you, is that loan market, because that's done for us in the past before as well. You know, like we built a side up and we got some great loan players in, and then at Christmas they're gone, and that always makes us nervous. But I guess the thing about it is, if I'm nervous at Christmas that our loan player's going, it means we must be doing well.
I mean, I was going to say, I think it's a completely different kettle of fish, you know, this season. I think, you know, I still think we've been promoted earlier than we wanted to be necessarily in terms of like kind of bedding down a bunch of stuff. So
Adam, you're going to have to do another.
No, we have to do that apology, aren't we?
I still worry about that. But I think if we can capitalize.
Well, why do you worry about it? I mean, when's the right time to be promoted?
No, it's just finances at the moment. I think I'm hoping the Football Governance Bill will come in ASAP and will start to help us out ASAP.
The reality, without doing a whole episode on finances, is that there will never be a right time.
No, I know. But all I'm trying to say is I think we are in a much better place than we were when we got promoted to the First Division before. We've got the structure set up. I think we do need to capitalise this season on like numbers of people coming, the amount of money spent at the club, all that kind of jazz for this season, because we will get a lot more attention. And I think that is something we, as a fan-owned club, should definitely think about. It's like, how do we make sure we capitalise on, if this is only one, if it is only one season up, which it might well be, that we want to make as much of it as possible, for definite. And I think we could...
I'm going to make one quick point, Adam, and that is that my head has gone wandering off in a different tangent because you said all that jazz. And I'm just now thinking, do you know, maybe we need to have a jazz club. That's what's going wrong. You're just trying to have a renting. You know, now imagine that whole middle floor being like jazz. You know, like that kind of jazz club stuff.
Yeah. Cool. I'm really sorry this happened.
Yeah, because jazz makes loads of money. That's right, Niall. Jazz clubs make loads of money, yeah.
Well, don't go down that route, because Chris Phillips... Philo, you know, that's where
that's true.
Don't be dissing. Heck. Don't be dissing the jazz.
We're missing a trick here. There you go. So Mark, you know, we need to speak to our fellow friends who are now currently on the board and saying what we need, what we're clearly missing, is jazz. Better jazz. Yeah. That's it.
Okay. We let Niall have these moments.
cut that bit out. Thank you.
I'm not cutting anything out.
I want to. Yeah.
I was about to say, anyone talking about one season, there's a white feather in the post for you. So I think I don't think we need that. I'm quite confident that we're going to stay up, and I don't think we should be talking ourselves down.
Thank you. Thank you, Graham. You know, I'm sorry, Adam has to put out apologies on a weekly basis.
It's just one of the things we get to 16th of June. Yeah. Timestamp that one before later in the season.
So can we... Now, Graham, you're on, right? We wanted to talk about you, to be honest, my friend, because, like we say, we have our awards every year, and you are the recipient of our Harry Pell Award, which is for the greatest sort of like off-field, non-football contribution to the club. Now, Harry Pell obviously won it for kicking a ball at franchise fans. You, however, did something more amazing. And I know at that time, because it's weird, it feels like forever ago, but our pitch blew up. And yes. what happened at that point in your head?
Did you get caught with explosives on your fingers? Was that what happened?
It was me. No, I thought grab a mop and bucket and hit it to the ground. But
we were missing crazy goals as an option.
It does seem like a long time ago. I'd like to say it wasn't me doing an amazing thing. It was like everyone rallying together because, you know, it wasn't me putting the money in, it was everyone. And Wimbledon fan base initially and then beyond. So, you know, well done to all those guys. I just sort of happened to be there. And be mop and bucket adverse, really. So it was either that or set something up from afar. So I saved myself a drive in the rain, really. And and it was just a conversation with a couple of people on WhatsApp saying, you know, can we do anything? Should we see if we can get some money together, thinking like a couple of grand, just to sort of, you know, to buy some mops and buckets maybe and send them along to the club. And it just snowballed, really. But that was it. I mean, I think along with everyone else, you know, the pictures came out and you're thinking it's some sort of AI thing or it's some sort of screen grab from a computer game. And then it becomes apparent that it's true, that it's actually happened. And, you know, everyone's confirming this on WhatsApp groups. It's a bit like the transfer market now. You don't know what to believe and what not to. Except, it was actually happening. And so so literally set up a page and sort of mentioned it in a few forums and said, well, you know, until we know, let's see what we can do. And I think we set a target of 10,000, thinking, yeah, well, you know, we'll get a couple of thousand and that will buy us a few buckets. And we hit the 10,000 within, I don't know, an hour or so, you know, that morning. And then thought, well, should we keep going? And it was just conversations with a few people. And it was like, at some point, there was like, very early on, there was a message to say to the club, would you object if we do this? Because, you know, they might not want us to be seen to be asking for money. And I'm sure the club don't want to be seen to be asking for money. So it's like a case of making it clear that it's a fan thing. And it's very independent of the club. And they said, well, no, we wouldn't object. You know, great, go for it, see what happens. And then it just went from there. I think the first thing was got a phone call from Sky News saying, well, just seen it's hit 10,000. And of course, by the time I went on a few hours later, it hit, I think, almost 40 or 50,000. And it was, and I was having to sort of, you know, and then I started getting invited on things. And it was like having to update the website to see how much it was at before I went on, because my figures would have been 10 grand out of sync every time because it was going up so fast. So I was just watching it and pressing refresh with everyone else, really. It was phenomenal, yeah.
it was amazing, and I think you've done yourself a disservice, because you know someone has to get that, it has to get it off the ground and then monitor it and manage it and you know keep it going, and you did a brilliant job, and it was fantastic seeing you all over the place.
I was all over the place, quite literally, because I didn't know whether I was working at the same week. I was working full time and I was getting phone calls saying, can you come on the show? So like, what time is that? Oh, it's 2 o'clock. Yeah, that's my lunch hour. Like, okay, that works. Yeah. And there was one where I was driving up to, I was actually driving to London, and I was about to speak to Adrian Charles, and the producer calls us, you know, with these things, they sort of say, right, are you ready? We're going on in 15 minutes. And I stuck on the, you know, that roundabout that hasn't worked for about 5 years, where it's just gridlocked. And I said, yeah, I'll be fine. I'm just on the road, but I'll pull over. And they said, well, you know, you can't be driving and talking because that's a rule that we have, whatever. Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm sure I'll be able to find a hard shoulder. Of course, I didn't move for 14 minutes. Then suddenly everything moved. I pulled over and I was a bit out of breath because I was swearing at everyone to like, get a move. And it was like, oh, hi, Adrian. Yes, all good. How are you doing? Completely calm. But it was it was great. It was quite an intense week. Ended up doing like some like New Zealand's version of Good Morning Britain, things like that. And there was a Wimbledon fan on there, coincidentally, and didn't mention it until the end of the chat. He said, "Oh yeah, I used to live in Kingston, and I used to go to Kingsmeadow." And it's like, what? so random, but so many great radio hosts and stuff. And they came down to the ground for the first game back against Carlisle and stuff, and it's still going, for a long time. And then we reached, I think, 123,000 in the end. And at some point just before that, the club had said, "Look, we're good. I think we should pause it because we don't want to be seen to profiteering, and we think we've covered, the things like the insurance excess and the shortfall because the water trucks were like 10 grand a time, whatever." And also there was a non-league club that flooded, but they escaped me now. I forget who it was, but they had a similar thing where their pitch was underwater.
Yes, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a case of like, so maybe we could mention them, say thank you very much. We've done what we need, and they're probably a bit more. If you're looking for something, there's something there as well. So we got so much good feeling from other clubs as well. As I say, it was initially Wimbledon fans, and it really took off with Wimbledon fans, and then a few other clubs sort of saw it on the TV, and obviously I had a soft spot for us. They started getting involved, and then Newcastle themselves put in 15,000. We had people like Little Alfie who put his pocket money in. Yeah. And the messages on the Just Giving page were almost as thrilling, if you like, as seeing the total go up, because there were people like there was Jack Curry and Lee Brown. I think Jack put £200 in. Lee Brown, sort of 10 minutes later, came in with 201 and said,
"Yeah." Brilliant, wasn't it?
There was some sort of real sort of good comedy on the message board, but really seeing all these other clubs saying, "I'm a fan from such and such," and I think we got something like 113 different clubs, fans of 113 different clubs chip in, and it really, like, sometimes you think, "Oh, football's a bit shit, isn't it?" And everyone's, we shout at each other for 90 minutes on a Saturday, and you think, "Oh yeah, we're better than them. They're a bit, crap."
Dubes, did I read something that you tried to, or you did somehow acknowledge all those clubs for the playoff final?
Well, sort of. It was, I got a lot of messages from these guys, and there were a lot of fans saying we'd like to come. And I think it didn't actually happen. It would have been nice, maybe, to sort of at one point to sort of extend an invite to them, to rival clubs, and sort of officially from the club to say, "Hey, you helped us. We remember this. Thank you very much. Now, why don't you join us? Maybe even wear your own shirt. You'll be made welcome." And that was kind of early days. But then our tickets sold so fast. It was a case of like, well, we don't want to be doing that officially, and then our own fans not being able to get a ticket. And remember, there's quite a short window. So it didn't happen as an official thing. But a lot of people messaged me. It was a case of, "Oh, you'll be most welcome. Believe me. Come and join us. Come and join the Wembley fun and see us romp home."
But I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I think at the beginning we were all a little bit like, "Oh, is it going to work? Is this? It's different. It's not from the club and whatever." But I think you moved so quickly and it was so brilliant. At the end of it, everyone, just gobsmacked. So has the money gone to the club, and it's all been the insurance, all of that sort of stuff's been covered now?
Yeah, I believe so.
No, Matt. The money's
gone. Oh, are you from the Caribbean? Is that what you're calling? Yeah.
No, the money went to the club, which was a bit of a rigmarole in itself, because I didn't want any of that money to go into my account, because
it was just resting.
My bank manager would have an absolute fit. And report me, and I'd probably be jailed. But then, I didn't want, obviously, and you don't want any sort of hint of that's gone into my account, because I just, no one needs that.
No.
And there's always like things like that happening. So you don't want to be part of that. So it was great. I worked with Michelle Little and Laurie, I think he's head of finance, isn't he, at the club, financial controller, I believe. And it was a bit tricky, because the way it works, you have to have a named individual bank account to transfer it to. And obviously, AFC Wimbledon Limited isn't a named individual. So we couldn't get the money from Just Giving direct to AFC Wimbledon. So we had to put it through a club account with a named individual on it. So yeah, it was, nothing's ever simple in this.
No.
But we got there. So that went pretty straight away. And we worked out, it was a movable feast. We didn't know how much things would cost. We didn't know at the time how long the insurance would take. There were things we did know, like the insurance excess, which we wouldn't get back. And that was, I believe, I'm not sure I can say the specific number, but it's
£10,000,
you know. And obviously that's gone. You don't get that back even when the insurance pays out. And then there were the short-term costs. I think those water trucks were like something like $10,000 a day or something like that.
Jeez.
And, you know, you haven't got much choice but to call them in pretty much straight away. So we covered everything that we kind of think needed to be covered in that short-term period. Because, you know, we don't have a sugar daddy. We're not blessed with someone who could just go, oh, $100,000, here you go. It's... And you know, it's one of those things that's what clubs founded on, isn't it? The fans rally round and get together in a time of need, and they answer the call every time. So it was just another one of those, really. So passive.
I wonder if it would work anywhere else. I genuinely wonder if it would work anywhere else, because the fact that we're fan owned and the fact we've got this story behind us, it brought everyone in. I don't know if it works in a lot of other places where they have got that sort of like sugar daddy who you know, they go, well, you'll just have to, you know, it's your club, effectively. You'll have to sort this out.
Yeah, because you'd struggle to find another club that had 113 different clubs chipping in.
Yeah.
That's where I think that's the bit. You might get clubs that would raise that amount of money, but I don't think you'd have another club with that level of support from the wider football community.
I think that's a lot to be said for that, because... you know, I mean, even when talking about Wimbledon fans, we rally around. Then there's the people we've touched, so to speak, not like on a doll, but, you know, yeah, in the community and so forth with DLAG and the foundation. And it wasn't just not being able to play men's first team games on a pitch that because it exploded. It was people doing that walking football and age-graded football in the foundation. It was people that were affected by DLAG, not necessarily being able to operate or collect tins at the ground at games and things. So I think it went, first of all, obviously, it was our fans. And then I think the community, and then people seeing what we did in the community as well. And not just at those 113, we're probably thinking, yes, they're a football club, but actually they do a bit more. And I think there's a lot to be said for us being, for other fans having a soft spot for us. And I think that really speaks volumes for the fans of this club and the way it's handled itself over time, to earn that, really. I think it's an earned thing.
No, it's great. I mean, and the good thing is now, Dubs, you've done that, you know, that fundraising thing or whatever it is. It's the last thing you want to do is get involved in raising any more money for the club, isn't it? Is that right? You wouldn't want to do that sort of thing again.
I don't want to be. I don't want to be the face of someone who just turns up and asks for money every now and then. I really don't. I really don't.
The new Bob Geldof for those people who own vintage.
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't want to be that guy. But we're going up to League One.
Yeah, that is very true.
And it's not a new thing, but there have been a lot of conversations since my time on the board years and years ago. People would come up and say, you know, what can we do? And during COVID, if you remember back to COVID, our fans, who are the greatest fans in the world ever, obviously, came around and bought season tickets to games they won't be able to attend. They bought debentures without really knowing necessarily what would come of it and how valuable they may or may not be. But people invested. They took a punt. They put money in. And people would say to me from then till now at games, you know, I want to put money in to the club, how do I do it? And you know, you want to make that simple. So there was a We Are Wimbledon fund set up a few years ago, and people put money in for various projects around the club. I think there was youth academy technology, that kind of thing. I think the ladies team may have benefited one year from a campaign. And there were several campaigns. There was merchandise and so forth. But the idea was, here's a button, here's how you donate to something specific. Now, with League One on the horizon, us not having necessarily the biggest playing budget, people have been saying, well, there's some people who, you'll have seen them at Don's Trust SGMs or just online, who say, I don't care about the politics or the running of the club. I just want to be entertained on see good football. How do I put money into that? And I'm thinking it's a good idea to facilitate that. So what we're looking at is a group of fans working with the club, and we've been talking about making that possible. Just saying, here you go, set up a direct debit, if you are in a position to do so, if you so wish, to put some money that will go directly into the playing budget, nowhere else. It'll go to Craig Cope and Johnny Jackson and support them in buying players that will see us into the playoffs in League One or keep us up, whichever. You know, we don't want to survive, we want to thrive. So there's a theory, you know, there's some numbers. We are talking about, like, we sell about 5,000 season tickets. So what's the cost of a coffee in a high street chain? It's about £5. So put half of a coffee a week into a direct debit, that's £10 a month. Over 6 months would give us £300,000 in January transfer window, for example. Even half that is 150 grand, which is like a couple of good players at League One level. You know, if you think of what they're on, maybe a couple of grand a week, I don't know. Yeah. And then you think, well, actually, we took 28,000 people to Wembley. If they were putting £10 in a month, in January, we'd have 1.6 million. So we'd have a pretty good chance in League One. Even if they put pound in each, it's 168 grand, something like that, in January. And I think, you know, when we're talking about signing a keeper who's ours, maybe that could help. I think there's a lot of, you know, something I'm quite passionate about. I think, you know, setting it up so people who can afford to do so, whether it's a direct debit or one-off donation, it's there. It's easy to do for them. I think it won't be for everyone. I make no bones about that. There'll be people who aren't in a position to, cannot afford the spare money or have other priorities. But if they do want to, and they want to see that money go on the pitch, then I don't think it's a bad idea to have it there. So there are a group of fans working with the club in a kind of holistic approach, as the youth say. Is that youth or the old people say? I don't know, one of them. And looking at how it can be best achieved. And there's a lot of good people doing a lot of hard work on it at the moment. So I'm hoping something will come for that. I'm not leading it, by the way. I just sort of said, if you need me, I'm there, kind of thing.
It sounds fantastic. I think it's great. I mean, I know a lot of times people complain about that we're going back to the fans again. But the truth is that there are people out there. There are fans out there who can afford to do it. And they want to help. And this is a way of doing it. And like you say, that there are people out there who can't or won't be able to. And this is fine.
You say, oh, it's us going back to the fans. I think that's such a, people will throw that around and say, yeah, oh, buckets against them. What people are forgetting is the fans of the club, they're one and the same. There's not a different thing. It's not the fans giving money to the club. It's the fans funding the club they own. So I think it's different. I think you put in and you get back, and it's not like you're handing this over to someone.
I was going to say, I think the thing is, like, people, yeah, they say that, oh, going back to the fans for money or whatever. Actually, lots of us who are fans want to give money to the club because we know it serves the community of Wimbledon, and we know the good things that football in a community does. And I myself will give what I can to those kind of things, because it's not about just giving my money to have first team football. It's about, I want the club to have as much money as possible for the community, because grassroots football, which we know we serve generally, is important for lots and lots of reasons. You know, exercise, sport is important. So yeah, I think those people that come and say, oh, go back to the fans, ask them for money, it's not about asking the fans for money. It's about asking the fans to understand how important football is.
I mean, I think that, well, I mean, Adam, one thing about this is, I think where it's interesting is that this is also, it's about the playing budget here. And where I think it's key is that there are certain, there are people within the fan base that are like, well, actually, look, I just want to give money to make the club better on the pitch, right? And that's a slightly different mindset to what I might have all the time. But, you know, it's like it, what Dubs has done, which I think is brilliant, is created a mechanism that allows those who want to be able to. And there are people that are able to do that. And the moment, there isn't necessarily that mechanism to do it. Whereas this does a completely direct thing. And remember, we're lucky that we're in quite a middle-class, wealthy area. If you talk about all the other clubs we see in League One and League Two, you know, the actual footprint of our supporters and our community probably means there are people out there that can afford to put amounts in that and they want to, and it's just that they've got the ability to, and they never had a mechanism before Dubs to set it up.
So, and I think great pains to say, it's not me leading and setting up, I'm just sort of helping, but
Dubs helped with
but yeah, I should stress that you're exactly right there. This is one thing, and it's playing first team men's playing budget as we take on League One, you know. But there are other campaigns that will cover other things. And, you know, the club themselves the other day put out a news piece, and there was a donate if you want to support this button. So as I say, it's all working together. It's all as one. Yeah. But you've got a choice. If you want to do something, you can pick. And I think that's the right way to do it, because some people really would be reluctant to, where's this going to go? I don't know. Is it going on that? Some people don't support the ladies team. Some people are absolutely in favour of the ladies team, but not the women's team and not the men's team so much. So it gives you that ability to choose where your funds are going. And I think that's quite important for quite a lot of people. So, just to really stress, there's no onus on anyone to put anything in. Just turn up on a Saturday, watch the football, enjoy the game. That is good enough for me, that's good enough for all of us. Yeah. If you're in a position to and you want to, and you think, oh, I could help improve the team that I'm watching every Saturday, then here's one way to do it.
And this is how a fans owned club works. You know, it's this is what we're about. And I think this, you know, we're in a really volatile situation at the moment, and there's an awful lot of, it's quite weird money coming into football. And I think we have to kind of, I'm sorry, as a club, I think we have to show an example that there is another way, and this is how it is. And part of that other way is that, you know, fans can contribute to it. You know, we can make this work. Let's show it. And I genuinely, I said it at the beginning, I genuinely feel that if a player comes to play for us and knows that they're playing for so much more than just a salary, it really is playing for something that, you know, stuff that DLAG does, the fuss that the Trout Foundation does, our women's team, all of this sort of stuff, and our fans. And, you know, we always get a kick. You know, I was at Plough Lane recently, and I still look at it and I go, we made this. You know, there's not many fans.
You know, I'm not to do that, isn't it? You know, I've spoken, because obviously through Fair Game, you know, I've spoken to a lot of other people, particularly the Fair Game conference, and they're all there, and they're talking about it. And they all love the ground, but it's like there's something special about this ground, because this isn't like some distant owner that you're never going to meet. Yeah, I'm one of the owners, and we're the ones who put that blade of grass on that pitch. We're the ones who put that seat on that stand. You know, that's what it is. We're the ones who, you know, apart from Matt, who did the artwork, right? The rest of it is you know, that's where we're at. And it's, there's something very special about that that makes it even more unique. And I think when players turn up at that ground and you get that, because it comes across every member of every fan they meet, you know, every person they get, there's a definite more embedded attitude. You know, I've spoken to a few fans recently that are coming from other clubs that have gone through strife, and they're going like, you know, the disconnect, you know, they're there because they've always been there, and there are loads of people around them that don't go anymore or feel priced out or feel like there's just like, you know, but they're kind of going, I kind of can't not. And that's such the wrong attitude. Whereas we went, when we were getting taunted and losing all those games in a row, or whatever, and it was kind of like, well, I'm still here with my mates. I'm still in a ground that I own. I'm still there, you know, whatever. And that's so unique, and that's what's so special. I think that, to some players, adds an extra 5-10%.
Yeah, I'm going to come to you, but I think, Niall, it's really important to say, though, that what we're not saying is that, because this is another thing that gets thrown around, we'd rather be in non-league than a fan-owned club. We're not, So we want to achieve the best that we can, and we think that we can, and we think that we can keep striving, and we can keep being that beacon. So it's not about us, you know, throwing in the towel financially, whatever. It's there.
Yeah, let's make that clear. Let's make that clear. This is not about we want to be non-league. That is like flipping it.
No, we want to go as hard as we possibly can, Mark. Yeah.
We don't want to survive. We want to thrive.
Yeah, totally.
And what I find fascinating already is, and I know that we've always tried and strived even to be positive on this podcast, but there will be a lot of occasions next season, this season coming up now, and we're possibly already there with people complaining about having not signed players as yet, that the club has to stick together, and the club, that's the players, that's the squad, that's the training staff, the coaches, and certainly it's the fans as well. Because if we are pushing up to like the best part of 5,000 season tickets, that means there are going to be that many more people in the ground regularly. You know, it was only a few weeks ago where we had an amazing experience at Wembley. Those 15, 17, 18, 20-year-olds that don't really remember Plymouth, so they haven't really experienced anything like this before, don't remember League One, they won't obviously have the real kind of Wimbledon are underdogs. But in League One, we're going to be virtually underdogs in almost every single game. We'll talk about it on future pods, but there will be like a mini league that we're in of about seven or so teams, and we need to make sure we're finishing first or second in that mini league, and then we'll be fine. That's not limiting our expectations, just being realistic as to...
No, it's not limiting our expectations.
But if the fans themselves in the stadium are positive, and we stay positive on the pod and so on, then I think we're in a good place, and we will stay in a good place. And that will be vital for the support for the team and the squad to get us through the season.
Yeah, that mini league is the top seven. Yeah, Mark, is that right? That mini
obviously,
league is the top.
Obviously,
the top seven.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Adam, I think it's really important at this point. You just cut in and do the little clip of our wonderful Tom Norwood.
Time to believe.
I mean, it's listen, equally that we don't want to go in non-league, we want to strive and thrive, but, you know, we're football fans, we'll moan as well. So, you know, that's the fickleness of us.
Yeah, but not as much as certain other people. Yeah.
We need to give ourselves a pat on the back as well, though, sometimes. Yeah. As a fan base, yeah. You step back, you take a breath, and you go, hang on, 23 years ago, we reformed with nothing but a name and a few fans, really, fan base. We built a £32 million stadium. Yeah, we got through COVID. We took that challenge head on. You know, we got through an exploding football pitch. We took that, met that challenge head on. We got promoted at the end of the year. There's so much we've done.
And to add to that, Matt, at the moment, Dubes is currently in his laboratory working out how to clone Joe Lewis. So, you know, watch this space.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, I've got to think, Joe, your obsession with Joe Lewis is slightly disturbing us, but we haven't... But
I'd be more concerned if I was Joe Lewis or jealous.
Yeah, that's
frankly.
It's hot content envy I've got.
Oh, obviously, I don't know Dubes' relationship statuses, but as far as I'm aware, Joe Lewis is a heterosexual cisgendered man with a very attractive girlfriend.
Well, you know, we've seen Dubes. He can, you know, he's really he's looking good. He's exercising. He's exercising. You know,
not very well.
No truth in the rumour that you'll be running the London Marathon and Adelaide FC Wimbledon next April, then?
Oh,
exclusive!
I did a silly thing. I did do a race in a full Wimbledon kit, and this was the kit before last, and I did it was for charity, and I said, if I race so much, I'll do a full Wimbledon kit. And I did it, and the shirt was like a sauna suit, and the socks. I know why they cut the holes in the back, because they were tight. And I just regretted it from minute one. So anyone who sponsored me, you got your money's worth there, because it was absolute agony. It was a hot day.
What you're saying is being a full kit wanker's not a good idea.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So there we go.
I'm assuming, Dubes, you didn't wear shin pads and boots, so, you know, you say full kit. But you're really just, you know, half measured, mate.
I've got to keep something back for the next one.
It's all right, though. No, these days, shin pads are like, you know, that, aren't they? They're like a couple of centimetres,
Hold on, Matt. Have you had your tattoo done yet?
Oh, no. And my daughter's giving me grief. So, Deuce, what happened is after I made a bet with my daughter. She's never forgiven me for this. She said, if we win a trophy, I've got to get a tattoo.
And I haven't. Man, he's got a couple of tats there. So.
I haven't done it so far. And she's saying to me, Dad, you've let me down on that and that and that and now the tattoo. So I've got to find someone to do it. But I'm slightly worried I'm going to be allergic to the paint. I'm allergic to everything. That's my excuse I'm giving her.
You can't let children down. Dupes knows that as well as anyone, you know. So
I can already feel the pain of it.
I've got about five and I regret them all. So I'm not going to be the salesman here.
Thank you.
But what I did do, my daughter actually drew them on me. So, a few years ago when she was like about six. So as you could probably tell. But and then I went over them and had them done. So there you go. You should give her the choice. Let her do the...
You're having a giraffe, mate.
Yeah, she's like 16.
She's 14.
Now, so
she's 14. 14. No, yeah.
I love that idea. I'll tell her cousins. That's what Matt said. That she's allowed to draw on your arm, and they might now turn that into a tattoo. Because right. I'll tell you, they will definitely pass that on very quickly.
I'm taking away my daughter's phone.
Yeah,
that's not happening. And listen, guys, we're running over. I mean, we'll have a few more specials over the summer, and we haven't talked about your time on the board or whatever, and
for the best.
Back on again.
Probably for the best. Yeah, we'll have to get you back on. But thank you very much. Thank you, Niall. Thank you, Adam of Buttons. I know you're looking forward to editing all these sort of things. Thank you very much, Mark. And thank you to our award-winning guest, Graham Doom Stacey.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to our listener for tuning in. We will catch you soon. We're the same old Wobbles. We're back.